News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to start this hour with the El Paso History Moment like we usually do, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her History Moment today is about El Paso's 1930s gangsta history. Told you.
Public Enemy Number 1 slept here. January 9, 1934, famous Depression-era bank robber and America's first Public Enemy Number 1, John Dillinger and two members of his gang rolled into El Paso. The law was hot on their trail after the murder of Officer William Patrick O'Malley during a bank robbery in East Chicago. Dillinger felt if he could escape into Mexico, he would be beyond the reach of the law. The three men checked into El Paso's Gardner Hotel, and Dillinger signed the register as John D. Ball and stayed in room 221. But the tale is told that Dillinger and his gang felt the strong law presence on the border was not going to make a crossing into Mexico possible from El Paso. So Dillinger and his men checked out of the hotel a few days later and headed west to Tucson, where he and his gang were finally captured. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Gangsters everywhere.
You like that, huh?
That's
a birthday gift for Joe Nebhan and his family for the Gardner Hotel. Their 96th birthday this week.
Hey, that's an amazing hotel. Get down there and check out that history. He's got a Tommy gun down there. If you act nice, he'll show you the correct end of it.
And the other thing is, I wanted everybody all the rest of the day going da 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 da. You know the Peter Gunn theme. For the last 2 days, I've been going da da da.
Gangsta. Well, we have a little touch of gangsta history, and there it was. And good for them. 96, you said, on that hotel?
Yeah, 96 years. Can you imagine?
And the guy stayed there. Joe Nevin told us a story down there. He said that when the old porter that was there in the 30s when they came through told him the story years later that was the heaviest baggage he has ever carried.
Because,
I mean, not only were there guns in there, there was some money in there. Yeah. Anyway.
And they were looking for that safe passage across it. Here they couldn't get across here because they were looking for him at the border crossing.
Oh, of course they were. All right, now this is for the History Alliance you did. $45,000 on their page?
Yeah, and they're working hard. Continuing, we're looking for more people to get involved, you know. So if you want to get involved, call Bernie at 581-7920 and get active. We have a good time, and you get involved and have a good time and learn more about history and just help us out. You know, we're always looking for more help, and we can't forget other people that are doing wonderful things for history, and that's Barbara Given-Bainey over there on the Facebook page. Remember in El Paso when, and she's got her crew of helpers. Rick Duncan, I think he started Dunkin' Donuts, didn't he?
He started Rick's Donuts.
Oh, Rick's Donuts, okay. But Rick Duncan, he's one of the helpers over there, and we always like to give them the shout out for all the work that they do because they've got great history, great pictures. Get over there and check them out.
Speaking of great history, we got a fella in the studio this morning who comes from a family
history.
Of great history. We want to welcome here Ricardo Samaniego. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you for having me here, both of you. That's quite an honor to be able to tell my story.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and also,
a long one.
You're inside the radio now, so how does it feel? You've been cramped in here. But as you talk about your history, we should remind people that there is an event coming up in about 10 days or so where you will be hopefully elected to county judge.
Yeah, God blesses me. I'll be the next El Paso County judge and probably one of the most proud county judges you'll get just because of my history and my passion for El Paso.
Well, the fact that you like history is one reason, the main reason we invited you in here, because the history of El Paso, it goes through many a place on its way to get here. Your Samaniego family was inherent in a lot of things. Was it the Ascarity land? What land grant were you guys involved in?
Actually, the Chamizal.
Chamizal.
It was signed by Porfirio Diaz at that time back in the early 1800s. And my great-grandfather, Mariano Samaniego, who actually got his medical degree in Paris, at the University of Paris is where he got his medical degree. And so we have a document that that has us as owning quite a bit of it. I think in the early 1950s, our piece of the property was worth over $50 million.
Wow.
At that point in time. And, you know, the family pursued it and tried everything possible to, and so I have a little bit of a side story, a little collateral story, and that is that the person that pursued it the most happened to be Ramon Novarro, who Ramon Novarro was actually Ramon Samaniego, but he was the first Ben-Hur in the silent movies.
Oh, wow.
And so
why not?
So he pushed it. He came from Mexico as a washboy and worked himself up to doing probably over 500 movies and actually took the role of Ben-Hur away from Rudy Valentino, which was one of his best friends. So that was not the best thing that could happen in a friendship, and but
used to be good friends
because he had the kind of money. The family actually has the document that is signed. It is in crisp condition in a bank, and it's worth a lot of money, but not enough to spread around a big family. So I'm glad they didn't spread out the money. So that's part of that. My great grandfather was also the owner of the first bull ring, which was there at is now called Balderas. It's used more for office space and so forth. It's the one that's downtown, not the one that's further down.
Oh, just south of Avenida de Septiembre?
Avenida Septiembre.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that was actually Dr. Mariano Samaniego bull ring.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I have a beautiful postcard.
Where'd you grow up? Did you grow up in El Paso?
El Paso. Born and raised, the youngest of nine, and all of us but the first with midwives, which is funny because we were about 100 yards from the R.E. Thomason Hospital.
But you didn't go there.
But nobody went there at the time.
Did you grow up speaking Spanish?
I learned Spanish a little bit, and then I was more of your, as we call, pocho or Tex-Mex. But then
Spanglish.
I went to work at La Maquiladora, y ahí es donde me enseñé a hablar español casi al nivel de la gente de México.
You had to get your act better together then.
Yeah, so yeah, I had to. It was a fun experience.
Now, you have a famous cousin that went through here. A cousin, right? Leo?
Yeah, Leo Samaniego was a sheriff, elected six times as a sheriff. He grew up with my older brothers and sisters, so I am so fortunate now that I get to meet so many people and hear the stories about how he was, especially the sheriffs, as how much they loved him and cared. I mean, I tell people I'll need two shoes to jump into his.
Yes. I've never seen a man with a crisp white shirt like his. I mean, the laundered shirt, man.
He was a sharp dresser.
Very crisp white shirt every time I saw him. He was in here. We talked to him about his big deal. And as he was ending his years as sheriff, he wanted to find the missing Pattersons.
Oh,
he was trying real hard to find those people.
Well, he told me once that if he had his way, he wanted God to take his life while he was still as a police officer or as a sheriff.
Oh my.
He said, "That's all I know how to do. I do not play golf. I just chase criminals."
Oh, like he couldn't retire.
I remember him talking about that at a meeting I was at with him. It was like, oh, my gosh.
He can't retire. He's too busy.
Well, you know, thanks to him, guys, we have a mural at the Children's Hospital, a beautiful mural that has Dr. Mariano Samaniego as the first trained medical doctor of El Paso. And he was also the first consul from Mexico to the United States that was signed by Ulysses S. Grant, signed that order to make him the first consul from Mexico to the United States. So a lot of rich things. One of the interesting stories is my great-grandfather graduated from University of Paris. My grandfather graduated from Loyola Chicago, and my dad came at 11 years old and was never able to get an education. He went up to the third grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, but he's, you know, he read books like I've never seen anybody read books. Somehow he got to that level of his grandparents and worked for the Popular for 45 years as a creative display man. I don't know if you guys remember the the Popular, and people would stand out there to see the window trimmings for every season.
He did that.
And, of course, they would knock on that window. They wouldn't let him work. They'd knock and say, Sammy! Sammy, and that included Leo passing by and knocking on the window and
yelling at him.
Yelling at him.
Well, you had a bunch of governors of Chihuahua in your history, did you not?
Two of them, right?
Well, you mentioned one of them.
Well, through my dad's side, it was Mariano Samaniego. Through my mother's side, my dad's, from my mom's maternal side, is Eligio Muñoz. Eligio Muñoz,
like,
was a governor and also a Supreme Court Justice of Mexico, and he was also a humorist.
Yeah, I saw
and,
that.
And he was, it's funny, he was a governor, and he criticized the government quite a bit. So on one of his trips from Chihuahua to Juarez, he came back and he was no longer the governor.
Oh,
oops. Yeah, because I noticed when I was doing some research that were like very short periods as governor.
Yes. He has a book that I was able to get where he's a humorist, a very educated man as well, like Mariano Samaniego.
Also, your family has collected papers of famous people. You had a president from Mexico. You had the papers.
Yeah, I have Benito Juarez. I have a signature of an original signature, several original signatures of his. I also have Rivas Palacios was a famous general. Now, this is a real important story that you're not going to ever get from a book, but he was a famous general who actually wrote, it was called A Través de los Siglos, throughout the decades. They would choose a particular author to write the history of Mexico for 10 years. The interesting thing is there was this book called Rosa Espina, and nobody knew who had written this book. They would send the poems. They would send them to the editorial in Mexico City, and they would make assumptions about who this person was, but they never knew. But within the family, I have a picture of him dedicating that book to my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story goes, and in those times, a general was not supposed to write poetry.
Oh, I see.
That was his way of of expressing his poetry without any criticism in those days. And so that's an interesting situation there.
And where'd you go to school?
I went to Henderson, Burleson, Jefferson, University of here, UTEP. I've got my bachelor's and master's at UTEP. I got my master's at New Mexico State.
In what?
In New Mexico State, it was cultural psychology.
Oh, my.
And bilingual education. And at Notre Dame, I got my master's in economics and public policy.
What have you been doing since then?
Well, somebody told me, didn't you ever work? And I go, well, actually, I always worked while I was doing this. The only time I didn't work, Jackson, was when I was at Notre Dame because Father Hesburgh, which is probably my 15 minutes of fame, told me that I couldn't go to Notre Dame and work.
Oh,
I was working for the HOPE program, and he found out, and he said, no, you've got to spend 24 hours
focus on
Notre Dame.
But what your career's been in what? You've had businesses, haven't you?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that I started from grassroots. I was a mental health therapist. I was a juvenile probation officer.
My goodness.
I worked for La Tuna as a mental health professional. When they left, they went through our group therapy to try to get them to see if they were able to leave.
You've seen the rough side of society.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I have. And that's what makes it interesting, because I was also the only liaison that has been the liaison between Big Spring State Hospital and our mental health center here in El Paso. And I was also the liaison between the mental health and the famous fourth floor at Ari Thomason. There was a psychiatric ward. Oh. And so very sad times, because a lot of times on Monday morning I'd get to see my veteran friends that had a rough weekend after they came back from Vietnam and how they were treated. And so I had to go through that process every Monday morning trying to
pick up the pieces.
And from there, I was the rural mental health director of Southern New Mexico. One proud thing that I feel very proud about is Rosalind Carter had a commission for mental health, and they chose me as a spokesman for, it was called Chicano Mental Health. So they chose me as a spokesman for Chicano Mental Health, as a spokesman for any of the issues that came up.
Haven't you been running businesses also?
Well, that's the interesting part. Then from there, I actually went into HR, which kicked off my career in businesses and large organizations. While I was there as an HR, they asked me to be on the operations side, so I ran a 4,000-employee operations as a director and quality director. Then I started working for Cementos de Chihuahua.
Well, what company were you the HR for?
In Mexico, it was Electrocircuitos.
Okay.
And Corcom.
Oh, Corcom, okay.
But then I left there, and I got the opportunity to work for Carta Blanca, Diario de Juarez, and then finally I worked for Cementos de Chihuahua, and I ran their ready-mix business here in El Paso.
So you've seen a lot of business things go on.
Oh, my goodness.
And the mental health business that you were in, oh, my goodness, that's a lot. We got to take a break here. And this is Ricardo Samaniego in the house. He is running for county judge.
That's
and he happens to have an incredible history we're listening
to.
Oh, I
know. This is incredible. I mean, the family has kind of got that community service involved to community activism,
that's
which
clear.
Is really great. Yeah.
Very clear here. All right, taking a break here to do trivia. Shall we do that?
Oh, I think we should.
Shelley, is that caller for trivia? No, okay, Jorge, let's take Jorge. Jorge, we're going to put you on the radio now. What is your thought on this subject?
Ricardo, I wanted to ask you, because my aunt, Carolina Samaniego, she was married to Augustine Samaniego. And I spoke to the sheriff once, and I asked him about that relationship, and he said that Augustine Samaniego was his uncle.
Yes, that's correct. I remember them from, my brothers have more of a vantage point because they were older.
Yeah.
So they knew Carmen, and they knew, as a matter of fact, there's a small, really pretty church in Mexico. If you ever want to go there, it's called San Jose, Capilla de San Jose. And behind the church is Dr. Mariano Samaniego, and about 75 of our family are buried right behind the church. And so if anybody connected with Samaniego, the caretaker there that keeps the grounds, he gets to listen to all the peoples that come from all over the United States, and he'll ask them, who are you related to, and so
he's
forth.
Got it figured out. Yeah.
He's got it figured out. So,
Ricardo, I wanted to quickly ask you also, what were your father and your grandfather's first names?
My father was Salvador Samaniego, and my grandfather was Florentino.
Yeah, and the grandfather of Sheriff Samaniego, his first name was Leo also, wasn't it?
No, Leo's father was Leo also, and his grandfather, who happens to be my great-grandfather as well, was Dr. Mariano Samaniego.
Oh, okay.
You got that now, Jorge?
I understood it. Okay, thank you very much,
Jorge.
Ricardo.
Thanks for calling. There'll be a test on the family tree, but no trivia questions, right? I mean, there are.
I'm sitting here like I got stumped. I'm sorry. I'm paying attention.
But
changing
things
here.
What kind of questions do you have, young lady?
The first question I have is, the Samaniego family has how many former governors of Chihuahua in their family?
Oh, now we went through that at least once.
We did. Mm-hmm. And the second question was, who was one of the first doctors of El Paso?
We went over that.
We went over that one, too.
So you better know it when you call us up to get these. What are we giving away here?
We're giving away Pepe's $20 gift certificate to Pepe's in Canutillo, or an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we talked of several. We have
Mexican Revolution. We gave away the smelter, I think. Or did we
gave away the smelter, but we have the Mexican Revolution. We have Tom Lee's El Paso, Gunfights of the Old West, Ghost Videos, Transportation Video, many
videos. Is there Ghost 4 in there? Ghost 4 is really weird. That's the one 4. Where we went over the smelter at
ghost.
Night with the ghost people.
Yes, we have Ghost 4.
Oh, my God, that was bizarre. So check that one out.
The smelter today.
But what we can do for you is give you a phone number where you can call and give us these answers and get these prizes.
Call 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Almost two centuries ago, Lieutenant W.H. Emery, guided by the legendary Kit Carson, led his army through the Black Range Mountains. Emery Pass is named for him. Just over a century ago, this was the summer lands of the Chiricahua Warm Springs Apache. Magnificent scenery highlights the curvy drive through the Black Range and over the 8,200-foot Emery Pass. Now, we're not an army, and we're not a tribe in the traditional sense of the word. We're just a group of hogs riding our iron horses this Sunday to a place magazines have written up as one of the greatest climbs in the country. Along the way, our trip will include great views of the Hurley Open Pit Mine and the Kneeling Nun Rock Formation. But the best view of all will be that of you and your friends riding across vistas that have been millions of years in the making. Your adventure can be as much a part of history as Kit Carson or Geronimo. Saddle up at Barnett Harley Davidson. Take a quick click at BarnettHarley.com because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Red Nose Day returns on May 24th. Since 2015, Walgreens has been supporting Red Nose Day and helped raise over $100 million for children living in poverty. Just a dollar can make such an amazing impact on children who desperately need help, nutritious food, or school supplies. So head into Walgreens, the official retailer of Red Nose Day, to pick up your red nose or purchase participating products to help ensure children here in the U.S. and around the world are safe, healthy, and educated. Get your red nose today, only at Walgreens, because everyone counts.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation. Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
Americans are always on the move. They're in the car or at the office or working around the house. Americans refuse to sit still. So how do you connect with all those moving targets? Easy, with radio. Radio reaches 93% of Americans every week. More than Google, Facebook, even television. Because, hey, who has time to sit and watch TV? So when you want to connect with all those constantly moving adults, teens, and millennials, get to iHeartMedia.com and put AM/FM radio to work for your company.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, what's going to happen here next week? We got stuff going on. The Crest Collection people are coming in. They're from the El Paso Museum of Art, and they're doing some new things down there with the old Crest Collection. And we've got some curators coming in to explain some of that stuff to us. That's in the first hour next week. Second hour, got Bernie coming back. I'm going to ask Bernie about the signage that's going on now. Because
yeah.
I know he was knee-deep in that. But Bernie's coming back. And we're going to hey, Bernie, what do you want to talk about? Something between A and Z? And no, it's between
if we get him past E.
Anthony and Zaragoza. Yeah. I think we're stuck on F. We haven't got past Fort Bliss. But that doesn't really matter. May the 26th, we're not going to be here physically. We'll be here in spirit. We're going to run another show.
Take a break.
An encore show, Patriots from the Barrio. That can be our is it going to work, Sergio? Yeah, he says it's going to work, so we'll take his word for it. June the 2nd. Now, this one's unusual. I went through the Deming Luna Membres Museum over there in Deming, New Mexico, and you got to go there to see what's going on. It's like the Sears catalog from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and all the stuff everybody bought and put in their houses, they then took them out of the houses and put them in this museum.
That's right.
And it's interesting, and that's just part of it. It's an old Trost building, and it was an armory. Have you been to it?
We may be going to it on Sunday.
Go do it. Oh, take a look at that.
Hopefully they'll be open.
You will. Sunday I believe they are. You'll flip out what you can see in there. They're coming in on June the 2nd to explain all that. June the 9th, we got some old Sarco people coming on, and these are some of the people that lived amongst the houses on top of El Alto back when that was done. And the last 30 years, and nobody lived up there, but these guys did apparently, so get a hold of them. And June 16th, Special Forces Vietnam era people coming in here.
Cool. Going to
be interesting stuff.
And I've got, let's see, celebration. We want to remind everybody, the celebration of the city's Oh, City's Birthday and the El Paso Streetcars today. And that's at the Cleveland Square at the El Paso Museum of History. And that's down there at 510 Franklin Street across from the baseball stadium. And it's from 1 to 4 p.m. And you can enjoy a picnic in the park, entertainment, crafts, light refreshments, transportation, scavenger hunt, gallery tours. And unfortunately, the streetcar will not be there. They got a flat tire. So get
on those metal wheels?
Yeah, on those metal wheels. They couldn't pump it back up.
Oh,
so get on down there and you can have a good time.
There you go. All right. The callers have not chosen to answer the San Maniego history questions.
They're going to stay after class.
Well, we're going to tell you the answers here. Here's a test for you. We got Ricardo sitting here. The San Maniego family has how many former governors of Chihuahua?
That would be two.
Okay. And he gets the Pepe's.
He gets the Pepe's.
There you
Yay.
Go, right there. That's the whole point. We're going to give you a Pepe certificate. And then here's the other one. Ricardo has papers from his family's collection from a very famous...
Oh, that one we didn't know. So we didn't ask that one because we didn't get to that one.
Well, then we'll ask him anyway.
Okay.
We did. Very famous Mexican president do you have papers from?
And that would be Benito Juarez.
Ah, you got it right.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, did we talk about that?
I did. I made sure we did.
Yes.
Otherwise,
sorry.
I wouldn't have asked it.
I was busy.
But we are awarding you the Pepe certificate, so that's the end of the questions. We're going to go take a break and come back and do this again.
Let's do that.
Thank you so much.
Have you ever been to Pepe's?
No, I
haven't. Oh, my gosh, you got
to
go.
Did you ever go to Griggs on Donovan, the old Griggs?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this is the manager and the cooks and the people that ran Griggs
really?
Moved up the street. But they didn't just move up the street. They took the recipes. So if you remember what Griggs tasted like, do you remember that German coleslaw?
Absolutely.
I mean, some people don't like it. Some people do.
My family liked it. It was a big deal on a Sunday to go up there and...
Yes.
The whole family and meet all these other families that got together there.
You can do that again because Pepe was the guy that ran the Griggs restaurant
really?
On the east side, and his wife was one of the workers there.
Yeah, and they're wonderful people.
I just hate when these incredible restaurants that we don't get to share with our families anymore, that we get to tell them, but they didn't get to experience.
Now you can do that.
This one you can get the food.
It's the same. It really is wonderful.
It's not quite the atmosphere because this is in a strip mall. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But Pepe's is out there. I'll be out there today, and we'll get you a certificate.
And the family atmosphere, they're wonderful, sweet people. And you go up there, you tell them that the radio show told you to come up. So, you know.
Oh, good. And if we have a chance, I'll tell you about my dad living at the Hacienda, where the Hacienda restaurant is.
No kidding. Lived there?
Simon Hart, and I was married to the Siqueiros that were part of the Samaniegos. When they came from the Revolution, 1911, that was where they joined. And then they would then go mostly to Missouri and, you know, that area.
You're connected all over the place here. We got to take
El Paso.
And come back and do some more of this. Shall we do that? Call us up if you need to, but we're done with trivia.
That's right.
We took care of it.
Yeah, they're going to stay after school, kids.
And Shelly's not busy. Call up and talk to Shelly.
Shelly's
not busy.
She's lonely.
Hey, Shelly, how's it? 544, whatever.
5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Hey there, it's Reese.
And Irvy.
From the franchise concept, Reese and Irvy's. By now you've heard about our patented frozen yogurt vending robots that serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt with 6 amazing toppings in less than 60 seconds.
To date, we've sold over 200 franchises, 1,000 robots, and we're officially labeled as one of the hottest franchise opportunities of 2018.
With no employees, no rent, no brick and mortar shops, just fully automated robots that work for you and deliver instant customer satisfaction. Revenue for you. Smiles for them.
We secure our franchisees' high foot traffic locations like cinemas, hotels, tourist attractions, colleges, and malls. From installation to instant sensation, we provide you all the tools for Froyo success.
No experience is necessary, and full and part-time franchise opportunities are available.
To find out if your territory is still available, go to froyofranchising.com to learn more, and be sure to enter promo code 1515. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1515.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Red Nose Day returns on May 24th. Since 2015, Walgreens has been supporting Red Nose Day and helped raise over $100 million for children living in poverty. Just a dollar can make such an amazing impact on children who desperately need help, nutritious food, or school supplies. So head into Walgreens, the official retailer of Red Nose Day, to pick up your Red Nose or purchase participating products to help ensure children here in the U.S. and around the world are safe, healthy, and educated. Get your Red Nose today, only at Walgreens, because everyone counts.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All righty, going to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
It's now 18 stories tall inside the latest plans for West Star Bank new downtown tower.
Also in the Inc., meet the native El Pasoan who's raising billions for Israel.
The CEO of Del Sol talks about the hospital's big plans and the time he was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, that'd be cool. El Paso's premier business journal is El Paso Inc. It's available for home and business delivery.
Visit ElPasoInc.com to subscribe or call 534-4422 to subscribe.
This week only on ABC 7 Extra, from west to northeast El Paso, massive construction projects are impacting your community daily. Central and far east El Paso, you're next. TxDOT District Engineer Bob Bielek joins us live.
You can join him live. I'm live versus
live.
Dead. Yes.
Whatever.
You can join host Stephanie Guadian. She's always alive. You can join. Let me start that over. You can join host Stephanie Guadian in the discussion by email, Twitter, or calling in. That's Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. immediately following ABC 7 News at 10.
The subject today is the Samaniego family history. We got Ricardo sitting here. We have stirred up someone on the phone named Carlos. Got you on the radio, Carlos. Good morning.
Good morning to all of you.
Hey, Carlos.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, Ricardo, you are a pleasure meeting you. My name is Carlos Flores.
We lost you somewhere.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, he's unplugged. Hold on. We're going to get him on there. Hold on a second.
You got nothing over here? Oh, dear.
Wait, hold on a second here. He can't hear you with the headsets
now
off.
I can hear you.
There we go. Okay.
Ask
try that
question.
Again.
Go ahead. We unplugged him somehow. Go ahead.
Carlos?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Ricardo, you mentioned Hacienda and Greg used to deliver, Long Story Short, I used to deliver to Schlitz Beer in 75. And I used to deliver at the Hacienda and all delicious food.
Hacienda, huh?
The Hacienda restaurant.
Yes, I used to deliver beer. I had all part of Mesa, all the bars there, King's X, all the way up to Anthony, Donovan, Rosas. Anyways, you mentioned Ricardo Cicados.
Say that again.
Did you mention the name of Cicados?
Cicados.
Cicados.
Yeah. Cicados.
Yeah, you know, I used to go to Bassett Intermediate back in 66, and I used to have a science teacher, Mr. Cicados. I wonder if it's the same one.
I do recall that teacher, but I don't think he was. Actually, two sisters were married to the Simone Hart brothers, and that's how Hacienda was a place where a lot of the people come, especially 1911. If you were a professional of any kind, like my great-grandfather, obviously a medical doctor, and my grandfather was an accountant, and so you either had a choice of working for Pancho Villa at his whim, or you would have to come into El Paso. And so a lot of the families actually ended up in Hacienda. He's very generous, and they lived there. My dad actually lived there as a small child. He was 11 years old when he came from Mexico, and my mom was actually one. And they were actually on the same train, and they ended up marrying each other later in life. But so the Hacienda was an incredible place to help families come through, especially some of the prominent families. And then they all took off. A lot of the families ended up at Sunset on Missouri Street and that mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. You know, that's still
Sunset Heights.
Sunset Heights. That was a very popular area.
Yes,
and so actually, when I was going to leave, had a choice of going to work for Cementos at Chihuahua and their new corporate offices that we were going to start. And I actually looked at purchasing Hacienda, but we never had a deal going.
I wish you did.
Yeah. Well, actually, that I tried my best, and because of the passion of, I knew what that meant, and had the stories behind it, and the pictures, and all the things that I've collected. Being the youngest of nine, I've been very fortunate that things have just ended up with me. Books yeah. and literature and signatures of famous people. And so anyway, that was the Hacienda was a great place, and very sad that it doesn't continue to be a famous place for El Paso.
Well, you can buy it. It's for sale.
If the owner is hearing out there and he's got a good price.
No, the owner's hearing you, but you wouldn't think it's a good price.
Well,
no.
Yeah, that's what
he would think it's a good price. You don't know Chip Johns, do you?
Well,
you
actually, that's who I negotiated. Never was able to get that deal going.
Hey, Carlos, do you own La Hacienda? No, you don't own La Hacienda, do you?
Well, the barracks have been bought. And
I used to deliver beer there. Schlitz beer, a lot of the
Schlitz beer.
Ah, good old Schlitz.
A lot of wine. I used to deliver a lot of beer there.
I will appreciate. Thank you for the call, by the way. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You take it easy. And what was your thought on
the barracks have been purchased, and they're turning them into a little kind of a hotels now, which is really great. Which I always thought they would have been perfect to be right there on the Rio Grande. I mean, where can where in no place in the country will be like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
interesting.
A lot of stories in around that, and Fort Bliss being one of the first.
La Hacienda has got to be one of the most famous locations actually in the United States. But people here don't seem to know it because that's where the first crossing into America came from, Oñate.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, there, and the families that went through there, and the mill, and I mean, it's got so much history. It's incredible.
Well, if you become elected to county judge, what are you going to do about our history? Because some people sort of want to put it on a shelf and not look at it.
Well, you know, when you have the type of history that I've had and lived with that, and like right now, you think about it, Jackson, this is one of the first times that I've been able to tell the story. And this is just me. I can imagine all the different families. And so history, one of the things I learned, I had an opportunity to speak to J.P. Bryant, who is very interested in preserving especially the Tross buildings. But he said something really important that I hadn't thought about, is that when you knock down cities in the way we have before, and you get rid of barrios and neighborhoods, we don't realize that we're also getting destroying culture, the cultures that happen, not only Hispanic, but you have Chinese and German, and you have all kinds of cultures that came together. And what keeps us, you know, it's hard to look at a culture of the buildings no longer there.
Mm.
You know, I grew up at R.E. Thomason, where all of my neighborhood was demolished. And when there's progress like that, you can understand it. But then my church, El Calvario, I was an altar boy. It was right under the spaghetti bowl. And it was a beautiful church that was built by the community and Father Pacheco. I found out recently, and you might have him on the show, he did his dissertation recently, that church did not have to have been knocked down. They just didn't ask, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
But he found out that there was ways to have, instead of saying that church that used to be under the spaghetti bowl, right now we'd say that famous church under the spaghetti bowl that would bring a lot of attention and people wanting to see it.
Who's doing the dissertation?
Juarez.
Oh, Miguel.
Miguel Juarez.
Oh, yeah, we know Miguel. He's been in here.
Was that the Concordia Church?
No, it was Calvario.
Oh, Calvary.
Calvary.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. I'm sorry.
I was an altar boy there, and we would walk behind the cemetery. I lived by Jefferson High School, mm-hmm. and then we would walk
by Evergreen there. Yeah,
Evergreen, and then cross over. Ramsey Steele was there, and the
Ramsey
church,
Steele. Oh my.
Yeah, the church was there. So
you're bringing up all kinds of stories here.
Well, when you ask Jackson, I think the first part of it. I know it's not all of it, but first you have to have a person in office that has a passion for history that would be very bothered if you're doing the wrong thing to history.
Thank you.
A good example was you had back in 2005, you had the Chiwetta and El Segundo Barrio was under fire. They were trying to go in with eminent domain.
Uh-huh. Oh, to clear out and put the big box stores in?
Yeah, that was really a sad situation, and they thought that they were going to be able to just go in and walk all over those people, and they found out differently. They wanted to save their neighborhood. They didn't think, you know, oh, we're just going to go in, you know, it was blighted, we're going to wipe it out, and they went in and said, oh, no, you're not.
You know that we're seeing some incredible things happen when I read about the Bowie students. They want to put that transportation hub for the independent school district. Mm-hmm. It's a little sad that they had to defend themselves, but now we've got a community that is no longer just saying it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, when they came over to Jefferson and all my neighborhood was gone, actually our house was the last house to be knocked down, and they used it as an orthopedic clinic. So I have experience of what it feels like. I had a restaurant. I owned a restaurant that is now a parking lot behind the UMC. So I know what it is to not be able to go back and see where you're from and the school you went to. You know, that kind of, when they talked about, you know, getting rid of Jefferson High School, well, you saw how the Jefferson alumni jumped in there. Now, not only did that not happen, we have a stadium. Since 1949, they've been wanting a stadium. So I think you've got more people and more traction that when it doesn't make sense, they're gonna stand up and not let you do whatever you want to do simply because it's a good thing to do from a business perspective.
Right, and unfortunately, this town has tried to use eminent domain in the wrong way. Eminent domain has its purpose. Trust me, I believe in it, and it's usually for public works and needs of highways and hospitals and things like this. But we've seen it used an abuse for private purposes, and that's not, in my mindset, really what eminent domain should be used as.
Well, and it's sad. For example, I was I went to a tour of UMC, and if you've been there, like myself, where you grew up watching our, you know, R.E. Thomason and how horrible it was, and the county, that was where people went to die. And so when you go in now, you can't feel bad that your house was knocked down because it's so an incredible,
great place
to be. But when you see that a parking lot has taken a place of a truss building, that's when it's really hard to swallow.
Or it's just a dirt lot, yeah.
So going back to Jackson, what you're asking is that, first of all, you have to have someone that has a strong voice about history, and then you have to have someone with a very sound business mind. You know, my background in running large organizations, I actually was part of a team that built a $450 million cement facility in Pueblo and bought a lot of property, but we're always very careful as how we did that. So I understand growth and progress and development.
And budgets.
Well, also, you're explaining yourself from a grassroots perspective. You're one of the locals, basically, mm-hmm. coming up through the ranks, and now you're looking to be the county judge. I think the difference would be maybe you'll understand that the history can be used for economic development.
Absolutely.
And these people don't seem to get it.
Absolutely.
Decade after decade, mayor after commissioner after judge, why don't we promote the history as the main thing we have? Because guess what? It is.
And you know what's crazy is that we still need to fill up that stadium. Wouldn't it be nice to fill it up with people to come see all our historic sites and stay at our hotels and then go watch the ball game and then go into downtown? And I tell people is you don't have like Cielo Vista. You don't just put a Macy's, right, and then don't do anything else. And I hear that the stadium is like that's the thing, and it's only an anchor. It's an anchor to bring more businesses and more things and someone to go visit San Elisario and then go to the ball game at night. It's a strategic thing, not just one item.
But the thing is about filling up a local stadium, you're basically going to fill it up with local people.
Exactly.
And so you're just remixing the money that's already here.
Yeah.
What we need is outside economic development and new dollars. Tourism is so cheap to provide. If you have the history.
Yeah.
And we do.
And yeah. to support the history.
Why these people don't get that formula?
And then heritage tourism is one of the fastest growing tourism in the country.
That's the point.
We're 2% of all tourism in Texas. That's all we represent in El Paso, 2%.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody, there's no way that any city's going to strive because without tourism.
Tell you what, we're going to thank the control room people, and we're going to take a break here and come back and give some additional ideas on who you are and what you plan to do here. We've got Ricardo Samaniego in the house, and we need to thank the people in the control room.
I think
Shelley
so.
Shelley is finally talking to people on the phone.
She called someone. No.
No, maybe that's her daughter calling her and saying, what's for lunch? But the main guy in there who does what he does is
Sergio Valenzuela.
Where's your people?
Great man.
They're all outside partying.
Your people aren't in there. All right,
vacation.
Enough of that. Can we take a break here, Sergio Valenzuela? Yes, do. Back in a moment.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-280-8787. That's 800-280-8787. 800-280-8787 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Maybe take a long vacation. Bahamas, Maui, Paris. Maybe fill an entire pool with nacho cheese and have the world's biggest nacho party. Maybe get that tractor you've always wanted. Well, the Texas Lottery has paid out more than $21 billion to lottery winners. People who simply had a dream and bought a ticket. Lottery.com makes it even easier to play and track winnings. Download the Lottery.com app and get your first ticket for free. So go ahead, dream on. What would you do if you won? Go to Lottery.com to learn more.
Get thousands of free iHeartRadio playlists, perfect for any mood and activity, and perfect for fans of every genre, alternative, hip-hop, pop, and more. Looking for the biggest rock songs? Try the Classic Rock Channel playlist to hear the greatest rock songs of all time. Find the perfect playlist for you. Trust us, for every moment in life that music makes better, there's a free playlist for that on iHeartRadio. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. iHeartRadio.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're about out of here for today. I'm going to go out to Pepe, see you out there. A bunch of people going downtown today.
Yeah.
And so at 1 o'clock, you got a major event with the trolley history at the History Museum. At 2 o'clock, you got a major event about trolley films and other trolley history over at the library with Prince McKenzie. So 2 p.m. at the Prince Room. Go walk into the library and say, where's that Prince guy?
Yes, where is he? Yes.
They'll know what you're talking about. And also the train show next week.
That's right. You got the train show next weekend going May 18th through the 20th. It's free. And it's going to be down at the Freeport Mac Moran yard down there, which is off of Hawkins Road. And they've got all kinds of great events going on all day. It's going to be a blast. If you want more questions, give them a call at 240-8384. and or they have a Facebook page, the El Paso Railroad and Transportation Museum. You can learn all about it.
Train history is amazing. Oh, and El Paso is one of the places in America where all of a sudden huge train history happens.
That's going to be a great thing for kids and families.
What they said, there was like the first hour, we have Ricardo Samaniego finishing up this hour. First hour of train people were here. They said like nine railroads showed up within about the first decade. That's a connection point. Ricardo, that's why El Paso is what it is. It's always been a connection point.
Absolutely.
But before the trains, it was the river.
Yeah.
And so your history fits into this. County judge, if that's what you become, what are you going to do about our history?
Well, like I said, first of all, be a strong advocate for that. I think awareness and people being able to tell their stories, and there's millions of stories that I hear now that I'm on the campaign. But I think also just focusing a lot on heritage tourism so that we could get federal funds. You know, there's federal funds out there. There's Texas, you know, state funds out there. There's a lot of people, which interesting, outside of El Paso that have a better vantage point of what we have. You know, it's always the pasture's always greener on the other side.
But, yeah.
And people that come by here with our beautiful weather, our history, great people that we have in El Paso. And so if anything comes up, I want to really pursue the survey that the county has initiated on the historic survey. I really want to push on that, and I think we have to give closure to that and find out what do we have. You know, what are our historic buildings, and how are we going to take care of those historic buildings?
Well, there's one answer to the businessmen who say you can't save every building. Well, why can't you build your fancy building somewhere else?
Well, there's a lot of options, and I think we're trying to put a square peg in a round hole when everything has to fit into El Paso, into the downtown area. You go to San Elizario and look at how. You know what is very interesting and frustrating for me is that there's some cities that do a lot with a little, and we're doing very little with a lot.
And that's the point. We have the history.
We have it.
Oh.
And I know I've been asked not to because there are neighbors, but when you go to Mesilla, it's nice. It's great. And we ask everybody to go there, but nobody asks people to go to San Elizario or to the Mission Trail.
We need to change that, yeah.
And a lot of it has to do the attitude. But I think when they see a leader that's a spokesman, that's making sure and being an advocate and for our history and our culture and our heritage.
The people.
And the people. And you know, we don't have a lot to. We have the hospital, the synergism between Children's Hospital, UMC, El Paso Health. That's one big thing that's coming up that we can grasp. I don't want to be known like we have been before. The city of missed opportunities.
And we have them.
I like that.
Yeah,
is fabulous.
If I could see what I've been learning is we're the city of missed opportunities. We have the opportunity for history and we let it go. We've got the children's hospital and people are talking about whether or not it should be around. We should talk about how we should make it work, not whether or not it's the right thing to do.
We've got it. Let's make it work.
Yeah. The man running for office is Ricardo Samaniego, and it is county judge, and the early voting starts Monday.
Oh, that's
Monday,
right.
Monday through Friday, and then the actual election day is on the 22nd. Don't let anybody down. You got to go out and vote. We are expecting a low turnout, and remember that it's a black eye from the people in Austin and the people in Washington. As they see that we don't vote, they don't feel that they need to listen to us. So we can make a difference. Go out and vote. Do the right thing. This is your a privilege that we have that I don't know of a better social way. People say, what can I do? Well, vote.
Vote.
Yeah.
That's one big thing you could start doing.
Ricardo Samaniego, thanks for coming in here. Good luck in the election. And we're going to get out of here.
Good
thank
luck.
Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing and your attitude about history. Well, look where you came from.
Yes.
It makes sense. All right, we're going to come back next week and do this again. We have got some people coming in here about the Crest Collection.
That's a good thing.
Mr. Bernie's going to show up here. We got some more trivia, and we'll have fun, right?
Yes, we will.
The details at ephistory.com for the radio show, and see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.